Good morning, MC3. It is good to see you all today. It's funny, me of little faith, I thought, well, you know, it's beginning Thanksgiving. I don't know if anybody will be here today, so I appreciate y'all being here today. So, and bringing a friend, that's a great thing. So, hey, I want to introduce you to Abdiel. Abdiel is a director over at Beth Shan Mission. If you can remember the angel bags, we just got through packing it. He is going to receive those down at Beth Shan Mission and will be instrumental, very instrumental in making sure those get distributed to all the churches around. So here's what I need you to do. We're going to give Abdiel a warm MC3 welcome, but here's what I need you to do. I need you to give him a standing ovation. Okay, so here we go. Let's give Abdiel a standing ovation today for being here. Okay. Very good. We want to make sure that we honor all of our ministers, missionaries, whatever you want to call them, on the field, and he is in Mexico. I'm really not a missionary because you're from Mexico.
Yes.
So, we're going to just kind of sit and chat for just a little bit, and then we'll wrap everything else up and kind of move on to a little bit of a sermon. So don't think we're going to keep you here all day. But nonetheless, I wanted you guys to know that. And I want you to know that our church praying for you, prayed over those bags, and his day does not end when we all go to lunch. He gets in the vehicle and they get ready to go down to Mexico today to the border, towards the border. And so it's how many hours?
24 something, 18 around 18.
That's a whole day,
yeah,
by the way.
And then so. 12 from the border to where I am.
Wow. And so he's got miles to go, literally, yeah, before he sleeps today. However, what I thought we would do is we would just kind of ask some Abdiel some questions, because we've been in a sermon series here at MC3 talking about being commissioned to go. Commissioned to go and tell. We'll kind of talk about that a little bit today. All of us have, as believers in Christ. Now, not everybody has maybe been commissioned to be a full-time minister, but you've been called. If you're a believer in Christ, you've been called. You've been commissioned to go and tell the good news about Jesus. So with all of that being said, Abdiel, here's what I was want to ask you. Can you just share with us just a little bit of your testimony, kind of how you came to Christ and how all this kind of came about?
Sure. My grandparents, one of the first Christians in town and where I live, and my mom and my dad, they meet in the Bible College in Eagle Pass. They go to study and go back to Estancia where I am. So they have we are four kids of my parents. There are three boys and one girl, and the first brother went to Bible college. My sister, which is the second one, went to Bible college. So my brother, which is the closest in age with me, we have a different plan to do our lives. And as you know, USA has been a very good option for anybody in Mexico. So we thought about maybe we're gonna do our thing and get some money. And so he says, oh, let me go first, and then we'll send for you, and you will come. I'm talking about, coming illegally. So he came to United States with my cousin and my uncle. And then a month and a half, he had an accident. And my dad and my, he was married, 18 years old, and he came, and my father and my sister-in-law came to Dallas, Texas to the hospital to see him before he passed away. Wow. So my brother and my sister came, but that was kind of late for them to come, so they're not able to see him before he passed away. So they're sent their body, the churches, they know my family a little bit, and because they wasn't studying at the Bible College in Eagle Pass, so they know a little bit about them, and they help our brother's body to come to Estancia. So my parents talk to me and say, good things come for a lot of people going to United States, but not for us. So you forget about going, you forget about even looking that way. So I just don't know what to do. I'm 13, I'm in the age that, you know, you think, you do your thing and you don't need to know nobody tell you what to do. So I say, I'm kind of concerned with the God that my parents serving and my brother and my sister are, because I don't know what kind of God that allows to that happen to a family who serve him. So I kind of get mad and angry and kind of want God to hurt with my rebellious. You know, I try to do things that one meant hurt what I've been hurt. So anyway, I was getting in trouble, and it's not much to do in Estancia, but you know, like rebellious is good enough. So one day I was coming back late to the house, and I hear somebody was crying in the room, and so I went quietly and looked into the door, and I saw my mom on her knees crying. And so I get closer, and I start listening what she was saying, and she was praying for me. So for that moment, exactly that moment, I just understand, like being blind, and then you see what's going on. So that moment changed my life against what I was doing, and say, okay, and I say, okay, God, what do you want from me? So it takes, you know, time, and God starts leading me what he wants me to do. So eventually I went to the Bible college in San Luis Potosí, Central San Luis Potosí, and I start studying. And I finished the college, so I come back. My father was preaching, my mom serving, and my brother's on the ministry. So I come back to Estancia in 1995, and I be part of the mission where I am right now with Chris Garcia.
Yeah, and so that's kind of where you were. So how did you, when you got into all that, did you ever think that you'd be a minister, like that would ever be a thing?
No, I did not. I just... You know, I was like, what do you want me to do? And like, I hope it's not preaching, because I don't want it. Yeah, I went to the college, and I still not getting it that I was going to be preaching, because I say I want to be a teacher. I want to be helping in the church, but I don't want to be a preacher. So, yeah, that is not happening.
Here you are. You know, it's funny, yeah. You say your mom was praying for you. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to reach out to everybody here and just say, hey, you keep praying, right?
Yes.
There's things that maybe you've been praying and praying for. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Lord answers prayers, not sometimes on our timing, but based on his timing. And I guess the Lord kind of lets you be rebellious just enough, you know, until the right time, and allowed you to be able to hear your mom praying for you. And I think about the fact that how many of us have had people praying for us, and we had no clue that was even going on.
And I think for me, it was like, I know the Lord. I mean, I've been hearing from since I remember and be in church. Like, I know the Bible stories, and I know everything. And I, being a son of Christian parents, like, I know everything. You know, like being on the Sunday school, being in the church. But seeing it, my mom praying and her knees and crying, that thing changed my mentality. And not just praying, but seeing it. And I don't know, encourage you to not showing that you're praying, but you know, like if you often do it, somebody will notice that, maybe when you not even know. I don't even know if my mom see that, they see me seeing her. But that, for me, it was enough. More than just talking, or more than tell me, or more than spanking me. It was more like seeing the example.
Yeah. You know, and I will say this. I encourage all y'all. So if you're praying for your kids and something comes up, you know, you're praying for them quietly, and something comes up and you have an opportunity, I think it'd be great for you to go, hey, how about let's pray right now? right there with them so they could hear you pray to them. So Abdiel, one of the things we have here, that jar right there has got these nails in it, if you see that right there. So at that cross right over there, those are full of, you may have known this before, and some of you that are new here may not know this, but those are prayers over there that people have prayed, and so they kind of put the nail in the cross. And whenever the Lord answers that prayer, we drop it in the jar. And so this jar kind of represents, you know, answered prayers. And it's a reminder to us that, hey, God still answers prayer. So keep praying, keep praying. So give us kind of an overview of the ministry there at Beth Shan, you know, things that are going on, that sort of thing.
We as a mission, we support three churches. We support with the full salary the preacher, and we also help like around us, like angel bags. It's just going from this part to all the way to the end of the Mexico with Yucatan. You guys been blessing more than what you think that through them. And we have a nursing home that we serve, and we have 14 ladies there that we take care 24 hours of them, and it's been a blessing because some of the ladies now, they're in the nursing home, they're Christians. They used to be no Christians there, but now we have Christians, and it's a blessing for a place like that to serve Christians that have been serving others their lives. So we serve them, and we have the best that we can, the quality, the care that we can give to them. And even in the states of around us, there is no place like this. Even the government recognize that we have a very nice place for ladies. So that is part of the mission. And we also have a clinic. Dr. Freddy is from Tennessee. He used to come every year for 25 years. He used to come and go to villages and give care, and that way we can preach after taking care of somebody's need, and that opens door for us. And as we establish a clinic, they establish a clinic there, so we also keep going with those that need the care. They can come to the town, and we serve them, and we preach them too. And we also have a school as where I serve. A church, the plan is to be a Christian school.
Wow, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that Aguas Calientes is, how far is that from Estancia?
It's about 1 hour, 40 minutes.
And Aguas is a much bigger city.
Yeah.
It is a city. Estancia is more of a kind of a town, I would say, in many ways. Yeah. Much smaller than Lilburn. And to think that all of that is right there is pretty incredible.
And also we have a camp. We have a camp that they kids, families come and be. We have activities during the year, so seminars, anything we can help, even estates around us, preachers around the Estancia, the small town with 2,000 people there, so they can come and enjoy that ministry at the camp.
How many churches does that support?
The camp?
The camp.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can get people from, Jalisco, Aguascalientes, San Luis Potosí, like I say, the five estates around us.
Wow.
That is known.
And I don't know how many camps are like that in...
Not many.
Yeah.
Since missionaries or people that were in charge of these areas or camps, they passing... with the Lord, the Lord has been taking them. There is not follow up with those properties, so a lot of they're losing the properties because of that.
Wow. So Abdiel, I always say it wrong. My apologies. Abdiel took over for Chris Garcia. Chris Garcia started that ministry such a long time ago. And it is hard to step into those shoes and take over. So kind of tell us kind of what was that process like? How did that go?
Well, it's been It was a time when I say, okay, I got this. I know what has to be done and all that. But then when she was not there, like, where are you, Chris? Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, sometimes you think you have it all, but it's not true, at least for me. So it's a difficult time. I mean, it's more probably coming up here and know you guys and tell about what's going on there, because she was coming. And I think that part is what is hard for us, my wife and I, coming to United States and know people, because we don't know people. We've been there 25 years, almost 30 years, so it's difficult to come and know people and that people know us. When she passed away, some people thought about the mission is over. Mm. And some people loved her so much and respect that they was helping her with the mission. Then now she's not there, some people, they lose track. Now they forgot, but they lose track with, because the connection was with her, not with us. So it's a hard time right now for us to come and do this. And not because, I love, my heart is there. Don't get me wrong, but just it's hard to come and speak your language. I don't speak really good your language, so I apologize for that.
I think you're doing, hey, listen. Your English is a whole lot better than my Spanish, so absolutely, absolutely. And kudos to you for stepping in. Did you ever think for a second, maybe like, I don't want to do this?
I came to United States to answer that question, and I was up here for my citizenship. My wife is from Michigan, so she speaks the English. I don't need to. So we came and worked in my citizenship because I was coming just 1 week with her to Michigan to see her parents, to be with the family. But the government stopped me to come because I'm not supposed to be out of this country to Mexico 6 months out of the year. So they stuck me, tried to take the residency from me. So I say, what can I do so I can come just when I need to? And they say, you have to be a citizen. So we came, and they told me there was 18 months, and they ended in 3 years and a half. So because I don't have record of being here, so I have to build a record and pay taxes and all that. So to be answer the question, when I was ready to coming back, my wife, you know, has been close for 3 years and a half with this family, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And as things is happening, being bad in Mexico, she was afraid to. Somebody asked me when I was coming, going close to come down, and say, are you sure you want to go back to Mexico? And I say, yes, I am. And he says, you know, let me ask this. If the cartels kidnapping one of your daughters or rape one of your daughters or do something to your wife, do you live like that the rest of your life? And I said, I never thought about that. Mm. That's a good question. So I start praying. I want to come, but I don't know if the God is want me to come back. So my mother-in-law say, go Mexico and see things, how it looks like. And when you think everything is okay, just come back and get your family. And I say, no, we all go or we're not going. Yeah. So I asked three times the Lord if he wants me to go back with my family. And the three times he said yes. And I have the prayers that I can share with you, but it will be in a different time. But I can guarantee you, don't ask the Lord if you don't willing to do what he told you to do. So that's why we coming back. And is that we there because the Lord bring us back there. So even if it's hard, I know he bring me back. So I going to be there as long as he told me. And alongside ask, and he say yes.
That's that boldness and that faith that we put in Jesus. And here's the thing too, I want them to know about this as well. You are sure you could actually get up here because you Abdiel was at ICOM, mm-hmm. and then you know, he's come and hang out with us, and then get ready to go back with the angel bags. But coming up this way, you couldn't get up for a bit because of the cartel. Yeah. So you can share a little bit about your trip up here.
Well, our nation is having some issues as every nation, but with us, it's kind of like the whole country belongs to the cartels. I mean, the government is part of that. You hear in the news, it's true. It's true. And, you know, people start raising up people. So now the target might be the people. Now other cartels. They kind of get together. And I'm seeing from that side to look in this side. And I hope the Lord will, you guys as a nation, help us. Mm. And that's all I can say, because I don't want to go into detail of that. But that's what I think. The Lord, we need help, because our government is really into corruption, totally corruption, and bring us to hard times. Before it was cartel against cartel. They get together because they want to defeat the United States too. I mean, in some level. And because they're not able to bring drugs as much as they used to do it, and not much money getting into the people that come into USA illegally, like open door, they was making a lot of money, so they don't look us as money makers. But now that these doors are closed, now they're looking into our cities, and they want their money, you know. And as that bring on more difficult times on our end. So we're going to face what the Lord is putting us to face, but definitely we need help, especially from the church.
Mm. And that's where we lean in and pray and be able to help as best we can. And so, absolutely. So, with all of that going on, obviously God doesn't call us to something easy or something safe sometimes, right? And we have to just follow after Him, as you said. So, tell us a little bit about. I know that you've been involved in. Seeing churches planted and mm-hmm. massaging that a little bit and seeing them grow. Can you kind of tell us some great things that are happening with some of the churches?
Yeah, well, especially, you know, as the missionaries came in down, which is, I want to just emphasize how blessing is that we are from this nation. Because I can see ICOM. I did not come before in a long, long time. And see all the missionaries coming from this nation, go to different nations, and the blessings that has been through the gospel, just bringing the gospel to places. And as I am part of that blessing, as my family and I, and be able to come and see that, and thank you for you guys and many behind you guys and many generations behind you guys, that has been a blessing for us. So it's a transition in our where I am. Our mentality as Mexicans, like I say before in my calling testimony, it just looking to north, it will be the best thing to do. But now that we're there, God needs to change our mentality. And as part of the challenge that we're facing as raising a church or as leading a church or planting a church, the mentality is still like we poor, like we need to help, like we need somebody to give us. And as that mentality, the gospel had to change and the people had to change to be able to see for their own people. And that's what we work in, and the church, you know, we can give and God will provide through many others. He have a resource that he can provide. So we're trying to start churches changing that mentality that we have to do what we need to do and what we can do. and the God will provide the rest.
Yeah, Scripture says he owns a cattle on a thousand hills, right? Yeah. So the prayer is, Lord, sell some of those cattle. Yeah. Come on, you know, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So I know you probably shared a lot of this with us, but in case there's some other things too, I'm going to ask this kind of maybe redundant a little bit. Mm-hmm. What are some challenges that you and Shannon face?
Oh, I think as family, I kind of afraid for my family sometimes. I have four girls. So I'm asking the Lord just give a good man to them. Part of the challenge is I guess, to be able to leave what we need to do or leave behind what we need to do as our part of this time that we are part of the mission, and we leave somebody behind us that keep doing and even farther that we've been doing or we can do it. So that worries me that somebody come along, and I've been praying for that, to God to bring somebody to see more farther than what I'm seeing, and he can do more than what I'm doing.
Right. You've already answered this question too, but just so we know how to pray, what's your biggest need?
I think our biggest need is prayer in a specific way. You know, like give us boldness, encourage us to do what we need to do. And I think that part is kind of like, it will be good if you pray for comfort, but it's not what we need. We need to face what we need to face, and we need to do what we've been calling to do. So that's why I'm probably asking you, just pray for us and for the Lord open the door and show us where we need to do and what we need to go to harvest what he already prepared.
Right, absolutely. So let's do that right now. We're going to pray for Abdiel, but this is just the beginning of us praying, right? And we want to make sure we continue to do this. And we would love for you to make it a commitment that you're going to pray for his wife, for his girls, for the ministry, for all the things that he just talked about. Maybe there's something specific that kind of clicked with you, and you're like, dude, I can pray for that. And I hope that you would do that. So if you would, let's just bow forward of prayer. We're going to lift up Abdiel. We're going to lift up the ministry, and let's pray for him, okay? Father God, I thank you so much for Abdiel. Lord, I thank you for him just sharing with us his story. How, Lord God, you have called him, commissioned him, Father God, to be there in Mexico, to not only minister to the people that are around him, but to minister to ministers who will minister to the people around them. Father, I pray you give him all the resources he needs. Lord, I pray that you would provide him with every tool that is needed, that he can disseminate to the ministers and to those that are doing some incredible work in Mexico. But Father, we also ask, Lord, that we join him in the prayer for boldness, Lord God. Lord, just to do what you've called him to do, and that they step into it with courage, with faith. Lord, that they be bold to be able to share the message of Jesus with everyone around, whether that be through the old folks' home, whether that be through their clinic, whether that just be through the churches, through the angel bags that are about ready to be disseminated, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just give them boldness, Lord God, to preach and teach, and Lord, to step into certain areas where you are calling them to step into, even despite what might be in that village waiting for them. And Father, we pray that you would tie up Satan. You would tie his hands against the church, against the things that are happening there surrounding Beth Shan and the ministry there. Lord, we pray that you would tie the hands of the cartels. Father, we pray that, first of all, that you would surround Abdiel and Shannon and their girls, Lord, with your warring angels. Lord, that you cover them with your blood, that you watch over them, Lord God, that nothing would touch them. Nothing, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would provide for them in every way. Provide for them in their safety. Provide for them financially. Provide for them emotionally. Provide for them spiritually. Even, Lord God, provide for them in those moments they need it, that comfort. But also, Lord God, provide for them in those moments where they're called to go. And so, Father, we pray that you would just surround them and be with them and bless them. And Father, we pray that you would do that for all the ministers, all the churches, all the Christians that are there, Lord God, that are reaching out into their community. And Father, we pray that you would protect them as they're on the road today, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would keep the vehicles running well. Lord, that you would protect them from any crashes, dings, dents, things of that nature. Father, keep those vehicles running well so they can get all those angel bags down to the border and then, Father, even into Estancia. Father, we pray that the cartels not touch it, that they look the other way. Father, we pray that you would get them safely there. And so we thank you for that. Lord, thank you for Abdiel coming and sharing and for him being here today. We lift him up to you, him and Shannon both, and pray that you would continue, Lord God, to watch over them, bless them, guide them, and lead them. And it's in Jesus' powerful name we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Let's give him another hand for being here today. Thank you, brother.
Okay. Yeah.
As we take the opportunity here in just a second to take communion, we are reminded in Isaiah 6 that we can be commissioned at any point in time. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah says this famous passage of Scripture. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, that's about 750 BC, a long, long time ago, he says, I saw the Lord high and exalted. Isn't it amazing? Because the Lord's always high and exalted, isn't he? He's always high and exalted. We just don't recognize it sometimes. He says he was seated on the throne. The train of his robe filled the temple, and above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they were covering their faces. With two wings, they covered their feet. And with two wings, they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah says, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds of the temple shook. And it was filled with smoke. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what that was like? Could you imagine what the voice of God sounds like? Could you imagine what those angels must have looked like? Could you imagine seeing the Lord God and his robe and the train of his robe filling up the entire temple? Can you imagine that? Could you imagine being in his presence? Have you ever just been somewhere, been in a worship service or some place where the Lord just became real to you? Like maybe for the first time it just kind of happened and you're like, oh my goodness, the Lord is real, right? That he is God. I don't know where you were or what you were doing or what was happening. Do you remember that time that you just kind of knew that, wow, absolutely he is real? Maybe it happened during a conversation you were having with someone. Maybe it happened at camp. Maybe at a campfire setting, maybe it was at a worship service, or maybe it was just you in prayer with your Bible, and it just kind of happened. But do you ever remember having an encounter with the Lord? And so Isaiah has this encounter, and his reaction is one of repentance. He sees the Lord, and then he says, woe to me. He sees the Lord, looks at himself, he says, woe to me, I am ruined. I am wrecked. He says, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And so Isaiah recognizes his sinfulness. And then he repents of his sin. And when we encounter the Lord Almighty, when we encounter him, when we recognize that God is God and that we are not, when the God of light shines upon us, we begin to see all the faults. We begin to see all the sin, all the shortcomings, all the blemishes, and we recognize that we have sinned. In fact, we recognize what Romans chapter 3, 23 says, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. The only question is, are we going to be honest with ourselves in those moments that we aren't all that? that I'm not righteous, that there's no way I could actually get into heaven on my own? Do we recognize that we need a Savior and say, woe to me, I am ruined. Without a Savior, I am lost, and that's it. Do we recognize our sinfulness? Well, Isaiah did. Isaiah recognized his sinfulness. He recognized that he didn't measure up. He recognized that he wasn't holy. He recognized that he couldn't do anything about it, that he wasn't good enough just to waltz into heaven. And so he said, I'm ruined. I'm ruined. He was powerless. And you know what? We are ruined without Jesus. Without Jesus, all of us are ruined. We need a Savior. And what's interesting is as Isaiah responds in repentance, as he responds in repentance, then God responds to Isaiah, which is very interesting to me. God always responds when we seek him with all of our heart. That's what he says in Scripture. Seek me with all your heart and you will find me. And so God's response to Isaiah's repentance is redemption. It's redemption. Verse 6 says, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth. And he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. God responds to our repentance. When we turn from our sin, when we stop doing the things that we know we ought not do, and we begin to live the way God calls us to live in his word, right? And so for those of you that are baptized believers, we make mistakes when we sin. We simply stop our sin, turn from that, we repent from that, and we follow after him. I love what 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says. It says this, if we claim to be without sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And for those that have never stepped into the waters of baptism, we just do what the people did in Acts chapter 2. As Peter preaches to them, they said, what do we need to do to be saved? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we repent, God is faithful to respond. He is faithful to redeem us from our sins. And so we seek to live for God. That's what I love about communion. It's a perfect picture of the gospel, of what God has done for us. How Jesus responded, stepped into our world, went to the cross and died for each and every one of us. Died so that we might know who Jesus is, so that we might have a relationship with him, so that we might be saved. So that we might be saved. And so God begins to call. He calls all of us, right? If you're a follower of Jesus, he calls all of us to follow after him. God commissions us to go and tell the good news about Jesus. We're told in verse 8 that Isaiah says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Right? Who's going to go? Who's going to step up? Who's going to go to Mexico? Who's going to go to India? Right? Who's going to go to your cul-de-sac? Who's going to take the purpose of God that he has put on all of us as believers in Christ? Who's going to take what God has given to us, this precious gift of the gospel, and who's going to take it to our neighbors and our friends and our subdivision and our coworkers and everybody around us? Who's going to take the good news? And so Isaiah, through all of this, because God has redeemed him, he says, here am I, send me. Send me, God, here I am. And you might be thinking, Art, what do I have to offer? I'm not a preacher, right? I didn't go to Bible college like Abdiel. I didn't have an experience like that. I'm not called to go to Bible college or be a part of that. I'm not a person that can do that. What can I do, right? Well, you're commissioned, right? Jesus was commissioned, right? Jesus takes off the robe of heaven and steps into our world, commissioned to go to the cross and die for each one of us, and then raised from the dead 3 days later. How incredible is that? Isaiah was commissioned to go to the people there at Israel. The apostles were called after Jesus ascended into heaven to go into all the world. and to preach and to teach. And you and I are called to be a part of that. See, we go and then God helps us, right? He's the one that does the heavy lifting. We just do the telling. We do the going and the telling. We don't have to be anybody special. We don't have to have any sort of mad skills. We don't have to have some sort of be an incredible orator or anything like that. All we have to do is just step up, just be able to share the message. How many of you have ever heard of a guy named Edward Kimball? You ever heard of him before? I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but this is a simple man. He was a shoe salesman. He wasn't a minister. Now, he did teach Sunday school on the side, but he wasn't anybody. Just a shoe salesman. And one day he mustered up the courage to talk to his coworker about Jesus. His coworker's name was Dwight. And so he went to Dwight and he just shared the gospel message and it impacted, it stuck. Dwight became a follower of Jesus. And so Dwight, his last name was Dwight Moody. Maybe you've heard of him before. He went on to become one of the most influential evangelists and theologians of his generation. Moody's preaching inspired another guy by the name of Frederick Meyer, who went on to ministry, became a circuit preacher, began to preach around the area. And in one of those events, there was a college student sitting in the audience, and his name was J. Wilbur Chapman. And he came to Christ because of Meyer's preaching. And then he wanted to be a preacher as well. He wanted to preach the gospel. And so Chapman enlisted the help of a guy down the road that he knew by the name of Billy Sunday. And when Sunday was invited to preach at Charlotte, North Carolina, he couldn't make it. So he said, you ought to get this guy named Mordecai Ham. He's a great guy. And so they got him to come and preach at a place where he couldn't preach. And at that event, unbeknownst to any of them, sat in the audience was a guy by the name of Billy Graham, who in that event walked forward and gave his life to Christ. You see, we never know what's going to happen when we just simply go and tell the message of the gospel. We never know what's going to happen. Who is it in your story that told you about Jesus, right? And who is it in their story that told them about Jesus, and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. And here we sit. Are we going to break the chain? Are we going to break the chain? Is it going to stop with us where we won't tell anybody about the message of Jesus? MC3, let me tell you something. Don't break the chain. Don't stop the line of succession. Keep the message of the gospel going. And what I love about 1 Corinthians is it tells us that even in our partaking of communion, proclaims the death of Jesus to those around us. So let me encourage you today, as you partake of communion today, and we've got four tables. We got these two up front, and we got two in the back. As you, and by the way, we're going to ask you, for those of you that are new, everybody does this, most everybody, gets up and comes and partakes, right? At either the tables up front or in the back. You can come and grab it. You can take it back to your seats. You can take it here at the tables, or you can take it off to the side tables if you kind of want to lean, kneel a little bit and just take the opportunity to just an extra prayer off to the side. We encourage you to do that. The nails for the cross are over to the side. There are markers there. If you've got prayers that you just want to, hey, I want you to pray for this, right? Put a couple words on there that means something to you, and then put them on the cross. You may actually literally have to put it on the cross. I don't think there's any holes left in there. Got a lot of prayers there. Let me encourage you to take this time to do that. And in your prayers, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you to pray for Abdiel and Shannon? Can I encourage you to pray for Rajan, for Cindy? Can I encourage you to pray for many of the missionaries that we've been talking about over the last few weeks? Can I encourage you to not break the chain? Maybe there's someone that you know you need to speak to, that you know that you need to lead to Jesus, that you need to go and tell, but you just haven't yet. You haven't pulled the trigger yet. Can I encourage you to begin to pray for them, to pray that their heart would be softened, to pray that there would be an opportunity that would present itself, that you don't have to make it awkward or anything of that nature, but that the Lord would just work events out so that you're ready to go and tell when the Lord's ready, when you're ready, when they're ready, that you just go and just do it. Can I encourage you to begin to pray for whoever it is that you need to tell the gospel message about Jesus? Because all of us have been commissioned. We've all been commissioned to go and tell. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Lord God, in your word, it's all over the scriptures. We see it all through the book of Acts, definitely. Lord God, where your word is being shared, where your word is being taken from place to place to place, from person to person to person, Lord God. And Lord, from the apostles long ago, that word has went from one person to another person to another person, and it has trickled down to us, even today, Lord God. And so, Lord, we thank you that someone cared, that someone loved us enough to share the gospel message with us. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord God, to have that desire within us, simply because, Lord God, that when we needed you the most, you stepped into our world and you redeemed us. And Father, now we want to respond by saying, here we are, send us. And so, Lord God, as we partake of these emblems, as we hold in our hand the bread that represents your body and the cup that represents your blood, Father, may we have that desire within us to share with other people the gospel message, Lord God, the importance of why we're holding it in our hands and who it is we're supposed to remember as we partake it. And so, Father, I pray that we would have a deep desire to share with others the message of Jesus. And Father, today we once again lift up Abdiel, Lord God. We thank you for his boldness, his courage, his toughness, Lord God, to not only serve in Mexico, but to serve in Mexico and then sneak across lines in many ways to get here, Lord God, to get past the cartels, Lord God, so that he could get across the border and come to ICOM. Now, Father God, we pray that you would just bless him as he goes back, Lord God, now he can't sneak because now he's got two trucks and two trailers full of angel bags. And so, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would guard, guide, and protect him and all those, Lord God, that are going to go with him. And Father, we thank you in advance for getting him home safely. We thank you in advance for getting these bags into the hands of exactly the right person that needs to have them, Father God, that child, that family, so that they can hear the gospel message, Father God, and respond. And so, Father, we give you thanks today. Lord, bless us as we partake. Help us to share the good news with those around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need someone to pray with you, if you've got questions about your next steps and how to become a follower of Jesus, I'll be right over here. I'd love to be able to have a conversation with you. I'd love to be able to pray with you today. So won't you come as we stand and as we partake.